The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You know going in, I will be here tomorrow on this show to let you know that the regime media says that Kamala just crushed it in the debate. Let's go ahead and give you the headline now. How about it? Yeah, she's never been better. Everybody discounted her. Everybody thought, well, she doesn't give too many interviews, so Donald Trump's really going to crush her. But it didn't happen. You can almost hear it right now from Morning Meltdown.
You had one candidate that was completely unhinged, just completely off his rocker. Mm-hmm. He looked badly. He looked old. He looked disconnected from reality. He looked enraged. He kept repeating the same things over and over again. Made no sense. There was no preparation on his side. And he resorts to internet rumors already debunked just because he has nothing to say. One of the most ill-prepared presidential candidates we have ever seen in one of these debates.
Kamala Harris was superb. She was elegant. She was classy, but she also was joyful. And then she also went right in there and baited him over and over and over again. And he fell for it every time.
She owned that stage from that very first moment. Very much to what Molly was just saying, that what she did was she prosecuted when she needed to prosecute, and all other times she was presidential. Yeah. And he looked small, he looked withered, he looked beaten. So I think tonight was definitive for her. And Donald Trump, the only thing he could do was stand there and look at the floor, sulk, pout.
Jake, what stood out was that this was a staggeringly dishonest debate performance from former President Trump. Just lie after lie on subject after subject. By my preliminary count, Jake, Trump made at least 33 false claims. 33. By contrast, by again a preliminary count, Vice President Harris made at least one false claim, though she added at least a few misleading claims and a few more that lack key context. I think a lot of Americans say, well, all politicians lie. No major presidential candidate before Donald Trump has ever lied with this kind of frequency. A remarkably large chunk of what he said tonight was just not true. And this wasn't like little exaggeration, political spin. A lot of his false claims were untethered to reality.
And if you had the sound off for this debate, which I'm sure nobody did, what you would have seen was Trump looking physically hunched, angry, squinting. I never saw the whites of his eyes the entire debate, shouting, constantly interrupting himself, not just going down tangents, but being unable to finish a thought, seeming very frustrated, very angry, very negative, and very tired. I think that visual may be as much of a takeaway as anything that was said.
And I'll tell you what else you could watch with the sound off and have a good sense of how things went last night. The activity in the spin room, where the Trump forces were dejected, defeated, deflated, dispirited. People in the Trump war room last night were popping something different, which I think might have been Klonopin or Maalox, one of the two. It was an overwhelming sense of what happened last night was that the floor got wiped. I titled the podcast I have coming out this morning, Slaughterhouse 45, okay? That it was, as Gene said, as thorough a demolishment, a decimation of a candidate I've ever seen.
I think tonight was just as devastating. I think that Kamala Harris pitched a shutout on almost every subject I can think of. She shut Trump down on abortion. She shut Trump down on January 6th and democracy. She shut him down on national security. That she is the candidate of change. We need to turn the page from a decade of division and polarization. On substance, I think she pitched a shutout, and I think she did on style as well. I mean, the image of the debate to me is she's there happy, smiling, expressive, shaking her head in dismay at things Trump was saying. And Trump looked angry, scowling. She was looking directly at the audience. He was looking at the moderators and arguing with them. And something else.
And he was,
Donald Trump looked old tonight.
I finally made the cold open because we broke the news to you yesterday on the show. We told you exactly what the headline would be. We broke it before the debate even happened. I mean, yesterday's show literally was tomorrow's news today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. I told you yesterday I'd be here, and here I am, having a little fun with the regime media. You can get to the live stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com and also at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Leave us a thumbs up and a nice comment while you're at it. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. But first, look at this beauty. The Psalms of David and the Psalter of Tara. So this is my father's latest. You can see just how thick this book is. This is his latest. His editorial team has been working on this, it seems, nonstop for well over a year. So we're very grateful to have this coming out before the Feast of Tabernacles. Those of you attending the feast can get your copy there. So please don't call the phone line. I'm not even sure if we have stock enough if you're interested. But I'll give you the 800 number just in case, 1-866-930-3024. So the debate goes on for a little over 90 minutes. 90 minutes. And think about this for a moment. I know much has been made about the moderators. It was 1-on-3. I brought that out yesterday as well. Much has been made about the fact that she was prepared, she was polished, and that Trump, we'll play the clips for you later, and you can decide. You probably saw it last night. I mean, debates oftentimes lack fireworks, but just in watching some of the clips again this morning, it seemed like Trump was on his game. Given the questions that he was asked, they were all put together by ABC, who hates Trump. I mean, the guy who heads up ABC loves Kamala. They're like tight buddies. They're friends. So what would you expect for them to ask? They go on. David Muir, in all of his arrogance, goes on and on about January 6th. And we are 59 days removed, just 59 days removed from an assassination attempt where Donald Trump got shot in the head. He got shot in his ear. And not one question. Not one. Between the last debate, the disaster for the fake president, and this debate, you had no debates in between. Nothing. What has changed since then? Oh, well, they tried to assassinate him. And it's not even addressed. Well, if not for Trump, anyway. Trump has to bring it up. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the regime. About, like I say, about the FBI. What they look into and what they carefully avoid. In this case, Muir and the gal with him. Carefully avoid. I mean, as soon as Donald Trump brings up the assassination attempt, David Muir, for his part, changes the subject. You can't ask one question. This man was nearly assassinated, were it not for a head tilt. The former president of the United States, really, he's still the current president. I'll play that for you as well. He was nearly assassinated 59 days before this debate. And it's not even discussed. Not one question. ABC is utterly unconcerned about an assassination attempt on a former president of the United States who happened to be running for president again. No questions? Really? Notice how David Muir tries to redirect. This is clip 9.
This is the one that weaponized, not me. She weaponized. I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me. They talk about democracy. I'm a threat to democracy. They're the threat to democracy President with a fake Trump. Russia investigation went nowhere.
We have a lot to get to. Lindsay?
We have a lot to get to. Lindsay? Next question, please. I probably took a bullet because of this woman's rhetoric. And then the meltdown says, he looked tired and cranky. I don't know. I mean, in some ways, he has good reason to be cranky. He said as much to Sean Hannity last night. These are serious and sobering times. They're ruining the country. They're trying to kill political opponents. You're the one. And the people controlling you, they're the ones that have weaponized the DOJ, that have weaponized the FBI. Good for him. Good for him to stand his ground. We should have played the part before it. She was accusing him of what? He's not even president. Hasn't been for 3.5 years. She was accusing him of wanting to weaponize the DOJ. It's unbelievable. And he called her out. He said, look, I probably took a bullet because of your rhetoric. And then David Muir tries to change the subject. Well, they did. They move right on. I mean, hey, we got to talk about abortion or January 6th. I mean, January 6th, that was like, I mean, Kamala said that was like the Civil War. They're so wedded to their agenda. They can't even ask a man who was shot, who survived an assassin's bullet, 59 days, less than 2 months. Tells you what you need to know about the regime media. At the Federalist, it says, as we rapidly approach Election Day, and with election season, early voting, and mail-in ballots practically already upon us, it's pivotal to recognize the corporate media for what they are. If the debate did nothing else, it reminded us of their true colors. They aren't biased. They don't have a slant. ABC News and CNN and NBC and all the rest of the establishment media don't lean left. They are propagandists. They live and die for the regime. They are wholly and completely corrupt, a hostile force that exists to accrue power for Democrats. In short, they are the enemy. And you see why. They don't care that he was nearly assassinated. It's a non-story. They wish the bullet would have hit him in the head, direct. They wish he was dead right now. Politically speaking, they tried to assassinate him last night. That's what we witnessed. And to his credit again, he goes out into the press room and all of these talking heads say, yeah, even out there he got obliterated. Then he goes on to Sean Hannity. He goes, like I said yesterday, he goes into the lion's den. And if not for him, nobody would even talk about the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life. 59 days earlier. and then to hear the meltdown people saying, oh, Kamala Harris. Well, let me just close the loop on the point about Trump. This is Drudge Report. Trump's 9/11. I mean, here we are. Here we are on the anniversary of 9/11. And here Drudge has to say, yeah, I mean, it's like he was destroyed. She took him out. Worst performance of his career. Really, Drudge? I mean, the propaganda is strong. The spirit of it, when they are this unanimous in their take on the debate, that means you probably should go back and watch it. When they're telling you, you know what, I can tell even with the sound down who won. Just look at his face. He looks angry. He looks stern. He looks old. He looks tired. When they're all unanimously saying that you should just turn off the sound. That's really what they're saying in addition to that is that, you know, don't bother reading the transcript because the transcript might reveal that actually there was quite a lot of substance to what Donald Trump was saying and nothing. No, think of one policy. She just basically, one answer for the economy was, hey, we're going to throw trillions and trillions of dollars into the economy. Okay, but what are you going to do to stop inflation, to start this, or to close the border? And, oh, by the way, as Trump said in his closing remarks, you've been in there for 3.5 years. You could close the border now if you wanted to, but you won't do it. It's pretty amazing. The bar was so low for this candidate who is so bad, they erupted in joy. Because, well, at least she's not an 80-year-old dementia patient. The New York Post says Harris had a pretty smooth night. She did her homework for once, including prepping liners guaranteed to get under Trump's skin, some of which plainly did put him off balance. And, of course, she had backup from the moderators. You expect that. Worse, it says, whenever she started to babble in trying to defend her own record, they rescued her by changing the subject. And by changing it again, whenever Trump was truly on a roll, it says finally, still, whenever she talked about having a plan, it was more of what she and Joe Biden have pushed these last 4 years. Even when it came to the border, offered multiple chances to say what she'd do differently than Joe, she dodged every time. She dodged every time. She started the debate with a dodge. Are Americans better off now than they were 4 years ago? And her response? I grew up as a middle class, which was a lie in itself. But she didn't even answer the question. Okay, so maybe Trump could have gone after her a little bit harder right there from the start. But still, she lied from the beginning. The Federalist had 25 lies that she told, listed them out. But then you turn on CNN and you heard it in the cold open. Oh, it's just, we've never had a candidate who lies like Donald Trump. Last night, Trump made a pretty bold statement that Harris's rhetoric is probably why he took a bullet to the head. That is a pretty bold statement. I mean, even you would think that Muir would have tried to defend Harris on that point and say, are you suggesting that what she has said stirred up that wrath? Stirred up the wrath of an assassin? But no, he just moves on. Because he knows. He knows Trump is right. He knows that they all want him dead. He knows. Listen, we've got a lot of other things to get to besides an attempted assassination on Donald Trump. Happened less than 2 months ago. And so you turn on the news this morning or last night, and they all say the same thing. Every single time. Every single time. Biden's finally out of the way. So now Trump is old. Trump doesn't look so well. Trump's losing his train of thought. Trump doesn't have the energy. Trump's kind of hunched over. Really? Here's a short montage. You judge for yourself if he was way off his game last night. Clip 13.
But because of philosophies like they have and policies like they have. I don't say her because she has no policy. Everything that she believed 3 years ago and 4 years ago is out the window. She's going to my philosophy now. In fact, I was going to send her a MAGA hat. She's gone to my philosophy. But she was big on defund the police. In Minnesota, she went out. Wait a minute. I'm talking now, if you don't mind, please. Does that sound familiar?
Don't lie.
She went out in Minnesota. Why are we allowing these millions of people to come through on the southern border? How come she's not doing anything? And I'll tell you what I would do, and I would be very proud to do it. I would say we would both leave this debate right now. I'd like to see her go down to Washington, D.C. during this debate because we're wasting a lot of time. Go down to, because she's been so bad, it's so ridiculous. Go down to Washington, D.C. and let her sign a bill to close up the border because they have the right to do it. They don't need bills. They have the right to do it. The president of the United States, you'll get him out of bed. You'll wake him up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. You'll say, come on down to the office. Let's sign a bill. We had no problems when Trump was president. But when this weak pathetic man that you saw at a debate just a few months ago, that if he weren't in that debate, he'd be running instead of her. She got no votes. He got 14 million votes. What you did, you talk about a threat to democracy. He got 14 million votes and they threw him out of office. And you know what? I'll give you a little secret. He hates her. He can't stand her. But he got 14 million votes. They threw him out. She got zero votes. And when she ran, she was the first one to leave because she failed. And now she's running. I don't understand it, but I'm okay with it because
your time is up.
I think we're going to do very well.
We've got a lot more to get to.
Don't kid yourself, David. We're playing with World War III, and we have a president that we don't even know if he's... Where is our president? We don't even know if he's a president.
And just to clarify
they
here...
They threw him out of a campaign like a dog. We don't even know. Is he our president? But we have a president,
Mr. President,
that doesn't know he's alive.
Muir, you hear there in the background, fact-checked Donald Trump at least four or five times on the fly. None of those for Kamala. He had six follow-ups to Trump to drill down further, to pin him down. No follow-ups for Kamala. Unbelievably. Nothing. Just like the Post brings out, move right on once she's given her canned response. And then with him, shut him down. Especially if he brings up the assassination attempt. But as far as the energy, as far as the focus, I don't know. I mean, again, we're piecing things together to help you so you don't have to go back and watch all 90 minutes. But he looks pretty good to me. I mean, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. He seemed like he was after the debate. It's pretty funny. American thinker. President Trump came out the clear winner in the presidential debate. Now people can debate this, who won or who didn't. But what do the ordinary citizens of Springfield, Ohio think? It says here, presenting the case for his reelection, laying out the Harris-Biden failures, and confidently going on Fox News to comment on his performance afterwards as the Kamala Harris campaign threw out the possibility of a second debate in October. Candidates who are losing are the ones who like do-overs. It says the moderators, Muir and Lindsay, whatever her name is, they stunk with unusual bias seen in both fact-checking Trump while giving Kamala a pass on obvious and tired whoppers, pushing the abortion as healthcare narrative. They were vile and shouldn't be allowed to ever moderate again. Sure, there were a few things Trump could have done better. And then he goes and lists what Trump might have done better. But I liked Trump's passion. You know, just think about that montage we just played for you. I liked Trump's passion. And you could argue that most Americans do as well. I like his passion, his gritty, deep commitment and righteous fury about lawfare against him, pointing his finger right where it belonged on the White House. His refusal to back down from his insistence that there was election fraud. He rightly brought up that Kamala was not selected by voters and Joe Biden was tossed out like a dog. Kamala had nothing to say on any of this, probably because her masters or handlers hadn't programmed anything into it about those subjects. A pretty good take, I think. That's from the American thinker. You get more independent journalists. That's what you have to go to these days. I mean, just to figure out what's happening in that town in Ohio, you've got to get citizen journalists to actually go out there. Muir last night, he said, now we've called the city manager. There's no truth to the cat story. We have debunked that claim. I'll play you a police recording or a call that went into the police department there about these four Haitians that were making their way home from a park with a goose from the local park. They're killing geese. If they call the city manager, why doesn't ABC send a field reporter to go talk to the citizens? How about that for some investigative reporting? Trump brings it up. The left goes nuts, which automatically makes you assume that Trump is right. Here, you got to pay attention closely. It's only a 3-second clip. That might be a record for us. This was my favorite clip from last night. And it came right before Kamala and Trump said anything. They hadn't even spoken yet. This is clip two.
Vice President Harris, you and President Trump were elected 4 years ago.
You and President Trump were elected 4 years ago. That perfectly sums up the approach the media are taking this campaign season. Trump is the incumbent. You and Trump were voted in 4 years ago. No. That would be Biden and Harris. But see, the other reason why this is perfect is because in their minds, Biden doesn't exist. Biden has been erased. Biden has been thrown aside like a dead dog. And Trump is being treated as the incumbent. And it's all summarized in this 3-second clip. Kamala has the new, bold, fresh ideas. She's been refashioned. She's been reformed into something brand new. She hasn't been around for, you know, decades in the swamp. And she certainly hasn't been around for 3.5 years in this administration. Now she's got a plan. She's got a plan for the border. She's got a plan to really stimulate the economy by injecting trillions more into it. The first question, he's leading into it there, but he asks, you know, 4 years, you know, are Americans better off today than they were 4 years ago? It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And listen to her dodge. Clip three.
When it comes to the economy, do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
So I was raised as a middle class kid. And I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America. I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people. And that is why I imagine and have actually a plan to build what I call an opportunity economy.
Oh, an opportunity economy. I see. Indirectly, she basically admitted there that she, you know, Americans aren't better off because she talked, I'm going to give this tax break. I'm going to make sure they can buy a new home. I'm going to make sure there's more homes available, et cetera, et cetera. But and yeah, when they came over to Trump, he should have responded by saying she didn't answer the question. He did do that with the fake president a few months ago. He could have been he really what he should have said for his first response was what he had in his closing remarks, which was brilliant. As it is, I mean, he gave a pretty good response. This is part of it, clip four.
Look, we've had a terrible economy because inflation has, which is really known as a country buster. It breaks up countries. We have inflation like very few people have ever seen before, probably the worst in our nation's history. We were at 21%, but that's being generous because many things are 50, 60, 70, and 80% higher than they were just a few years ago. This has been a disaster for people, for the middle class, but for every class. On top of that, we have millions of people pouring into our country from prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums, and they're coming in and they're taking jobs that are occupied right now by African Americans and Hispanics, and also unions. Unions are going to be affected very soon. And you see what's happening. You see what's happening with towns throughout the United States. You look at Springfield, Ohio. You look at Aurora in Colorado. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently. These are the people that Xi and Biden led into our country, and they're destroying our country.
Okay, a pretty good answer, I'd say. You don't hear anything about Springfield or Aurora. All that you hear about is the cat. It took the cat story, to finally get their attention. And what do they do with it? They call the city manager to debunk it. So it's a conspiracy theory. So we don't need to do any more reporting on Springfield. Just move on and call Trump a liar. Fact check Trump on the fly, which, as I said earlier, Muir was doing over and over again. Here he is talking about Trump's sarcasm. He the big news, I mean, he's got to cover the stolen election and he's got to get Donald Trump to admit that he lost. That's a very important topic. The assassination attempt, that doesn't need to be covered. No. We've got to get Trump to admit that he lost 4 years ago. And Trump wouldn't do it. Trump said when I said recently I lost by a whisker, I mean, I was just speaking sarcastically. Of course I didn't lose by a whisker. It was stolen. Listen to how this goes down. And listen to Muir correct Donald Trump on the fly. I mean, this is more than a fact check. He's just saying, look, I've seen the footage and I don't agree with you. I don't agree with what you're saying right now. Clip six.
Mr. President, for 3.5 years after you lost the 2020 election, you repeatedly falsely claimed that you won, many times saying you won in a landslide. In the past couple of weeks leading up to this debate, you have said, quote, you lost by a whisker, that you, quote, didn't quite make it, that you came up a little bit short. Are you now acknowledging that you lost in 2020?
No, I don't acknowledge that at all.
But
I said that sarcastically. You know that. We have to have borders. And we have to have good elections. Our elections are bad. And a lot of these illegal immigrants coming in, they're trying to get them to vote. They can't even speak English. They don't even know what country they're in practically. And these people are trying to get them to vote. And that's why they're allowing them to come into our country.
I did watch all of these pieces of video. I didn't detect the sarcasm.
You're supposed to be a moderator? You're just kind of bouncing it from one to the other? You repeated this false claim. Are you now prepared to admit you lost? I didn't detect the sarcasm. This is not a reporter. This is not a moderator. This is a Democrat activist. This is a member of the regime. This is a propagandist. Even if you say, well, Kamala, she looked polished. She looked like she had, she was more prepared than usual. Okay. I mean, she's running for president. But you think this will backfire in some respect? I mean, the flack, the criticism, rightfully so, that the regime media is getting from this. And then people in Aurora, in Springfield, all across the country. When you hear both sides, I know I'm playing more of Trump's responses, but there's no policies. As I told you on yesterday's program, with Kamala, she just did a cut and paste job, and people know it. She cut and paste from Joe Biden's website. These are my policies. You know what the debate last night revealed? It revealed that their policy, their only policy, the only item on the agenda, get Trump. We just got to get Trump. He's a liar. He's got to be fact-checked on the fly. He's got to be corrected by David Muir. Okay. it's a joke. What a joke. Not surprising at all. Here he is correcting Trump again on the stolen election claim. This is clip 7.
And we should just point out here as clarification, and you know this, you and your allies, 60 cases in front of many judges, many of them
no
Republican.
No judge looked at it.
And said
they said
no
we didn't have standing.
Fraud.
We should just clarify. We should clarify this. And you know this. You know this. That no judge looked at it. He's absolutely right. They dismissed it on standing. There were too many cowards in the judicial branch to actually look at all of the evidence. Pretty amazing. Here he is correcting Trump on the migrant crime wave of all things. Clip 8.
This will be one of the greatest mistakes in history for them to allow, and I think they probably did it because they think they're going to get votes, but it's not worth it because they're destroying the fabric of our country by what they've done. There's never been anything done like this at all. They've destroyed the fabric of our country. Millions of people let in. And all over the world, crime is down. All over the world except here. Crime here is up and through the roof, despite their fraudulent statements that they made. Crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But Vice
excuse
President
me,
Harris,
the FBI defraud. They were defrauding statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime. It was a fraud, just like their number of 818,000 jobs that they said they created turned out to be a fraud.
President Trump, thank you. I'll let you respond, Vice President Harris.
Well, I think this is so rich coming from someone who has been prosecuted.
There you go. This was a big moment for the regime. Oh, she got him. What a gotcha. But before that, you hear Muir, President Trump, that crime is actually down. The FBI told me. So he corrects him on the fly, then throws it over to Kamala. And the one who says he wants to weaponize the DOJ. And then she smiles. She's giddy. How rich is this that Trump, he's been convicted and he's concerned about crime. So let's just move on to the next topic. You know, early on in the debate, he brings in immigration, the migrant crime and all this. And his first response, Muir at the end says, you know, hey, we'll get to immigration later, but we've got to move on. They really didn't get to immigration much at all. I mean, they asked her a softball question. They asked him how he was going to deport 11 million illegals. And that was about it. They just kind of dust off and move on. His closing remark, as I say, was probably the most effective. I hope I didn't already play this. Did I play five yet? No? Hopefully. If I've played it before, well, it's worth listening to again. Here is where he says, and he probably should have said this up front. He probably should have said this in his opening statement or his opening answer to the questions. But this is what he says about her being in office for 3.5 years. And what have you done? What have you done? This is clip five.
So she just started by saying she's going to do this, she's going to do that, she's going to do all these wonderful things. Why hasn't she done it? She's been there for 3.5 years. They've had 3.5 years to fix the border. They've had 3.5 years to create jobs and all the things we talked about. Why hasn't she done it? She should leave right now, go down to that beautiful White House, go to the Capitol, get everyone together and do the things you want to do, but you haven't done it and you won't do it. But I just ask one simple question. Why didn't she do it? We're a failing nation. We're a nation that's in serious decline. We're being laughed at all over the world. All over the world, they're laughed. I know the leaders very well. They're coming to see me. They call me. We're laughed at all over the world. They don't understand what happened to us as a nation. We're not a leader. We don't have any idea what's going on. We have wars going on in the Middle East. We have wars going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're going to end up in a third world war, and it'll be a war like no other because of nuclear weapons, the power of weaponry. I rebuilt our entire military. She gave a lot of it away to the Taliban. She gave it to Afghanistan. What these people have done to our country, and maybe toughest of all, is allowing millions of people to come into our country. Many of them are criminals, and they're destroying our country. The worst president, the worst vice president in the history of our country.
He doesn't look too old and senile. He doesn't look like a tired old man to me. Pretty good closing remark. I think he got better as the night wore on. Afterwards, it was Hannity who asked him about the more serious tone that he came off with. This was clip 14.
You know, one thing that interested me, because I've known you for a long time, and one of the things that I was watching in you tonight is that you are all business. You know, a lot of times when you're at your rallies or we do a town hall.
Sean, they're destroying our country.
Is that what it was? Is it the seriousness of the moment?
There's nothing to smile about. You know, I'm a good smiler, but there's nothing to smile about. They're destroying. We have 21 million people that have been released into our country.
Nothing to smile about, he says. He's right. He's right. The Bible calls it bitter affliction. I mean, never mind Joe Scarborough spewing the propaganda every day that America's never been better. There's no problems. Easy for him to say, living in his gated community. with his unlimited grocery budget. Nothing to smile about here. Here's the man of the people. And going away, I mean, again, what do you think the typical American voter would think of both arguments? Even the New York Times acknowledged this morning that the moderates are the ones in the middle. The needle didn't move much, in other words. Listen to this from this is, again, comments made after. This was the Trump spokesman or his advisor, Tim Murtaugh, in an interview with CBS. You had ABC that was doing the debate, and then you had Trump's people making the rounds after the fact. Clip 11.
Trump has been saying on Truth Social just yesterday or over a couple days ago that he wants to prosecute people that are acting nefariously in the election, already casting doubt about this election and still refusing to accept the results of the last election. Why?
Well, I mean, first of all, the premise of that question sort of presupposes that certain people are okay with people breaking election law. And I don't really think that's the case. If people break election law, they should be prosecuted.
Well,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
They are prosecuted.
Certainly. So why is this such a controversial thing? It's something that we should all agree on.
But talking about extending it to legal, other legal teams, to donors, it suggested the idea of prosecuting political opponents.
If you're going to ask a question about someone prosecuting political opponents, and don't mention that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Department of Justice are currently, at this moment, prosecuting Donald Trump, then it's not an honest and forthright conversation.
He's exactly right. If you're going to ask a question about weaponizing government agencies, Trump weaponizing government agencies, and not even acknowledge that Joe Obama's people are doing it right now. You see, but that's not even discussed. It's like the assassination attempt, because it was on Trump's life and not Kamala or Biden or the dear leader. We don't talk about it. We just erase it. We just dismiss it. We quickly move to another subject. You see how it works? These people have been exposed time and time again. And whatever you think about who did better, this is going to backfire. It's like, I believe it was the American thinker. He says, look, I like Trump's fire. Hannity, I like the fact that, you had a pretty serious, some would say angry tone. The nation, after all, is under attack. Donald Trump sees this. He sees it. I'm not saying he's read this book, but he sees that America is under attack. And he came out. I don't know how much he prepared. Maybe he could have prepared more. As I say, he could have probably put that closing argument at the front of the debate. But even still, look at the questions that were asked. 3-on-1 from the beginning. Fact-checking on the fly. The Federalist says, taking a page out of her boss's playbook, Vice President Kamala Harris told major whoppers during her Tuesday night debate against Trump. With help from left-wing activists masquerading as debate moderators, Harris whitewashed her extreme record, lied about Trump's policy positions, and more. Here are some of the biggest falsehoods she told throughout the evening. CNN says she didn't make a mistake. Morning Meltdown says she didn't make a mistake. She was brilliant. She lied about Project 25. She lied about Trump's tax cuts. She lied about Trump having some kind of a sales tax that he was going to add. Trump had to start with that. That was his first response. No, she's incorrect about that. That's not what I'm going to do. She said Trump's just going to give tax breaks to billionaires, and then everyone else is going to be taxed. No, that's what you guys do. Trump's abortion stance, this is just a few from the Federalist. The Minnesota rioters' bail fund, she lied about fracking. Trump's role in January 6th deaths. Yeah, she said police officers were killed. They just lie over and over again. And the regime media, they're there to cover for them. She lied about the bloodbath hoax. about Trump's NATO comments, combat zones, blaming Trump for Biden's botched Afghanistan withdrawal, gun confiscation. She's said it. She's on record. We got to take those, what do they call them, assault rifles? We've got to have a buyback like they did in Australia back in the 1990s. She's on record saying it. In a story from Minnesota, I want to hurry so I can get to the the swing voters, as they call them. This is from Just the News. One of the ABC News debate moderators on Tuesday fact-checked former President Trump on babies who survive botched abortions, saying that they aren't killed. But Minnesota records show 8 babies in recent years have in fact survived botched procedures, but then died after being denied life-saving care. Yeah, guess who the governor of Minnesota is? He loves these sort of laws in place that, well, if you botch the abortion, the baby survives, just kill it anyway. Tim Walz is the governor of Minnesota. That happens to be Kamala Harris's running mate. So there you go. Trump, as I said earlier, he brings up the dead cat story from Springfield, and their heads explode. They're trying to debunk that. Listen to this police audio. This is from that small Ohio town, clip 12.
I'm sitting here, I'm riding on the trail going to my orientation for my job today, and I see a group of Haitian people. There was about 4 of them. They all had geese in their hand. They got away. I couldn't make out the first 3 of the license plate, but I got the numbers. The last number was 9898, and it was a gray Toyota Tacoma they took off on. There was about 4 of them. There was 2 men, 2 women.
Yeah, the dispatcher got part of the license plate and said, which direction did they go? And they were running off with geese from the local park. It kind of makes you think there might be something to the cat story. But why won't anyone look? Because none in the regime care. They don't care about the story until it catches some momentum on social media. J.D. Vance brought this out last night. When he's asked about it, you know, the cat, this, that, and the other. And he's like, why aren't you looking into what's actually happening there? As I covered on yesterday's show, I mean, a kid was killed by one of these Haitian immigrants. And Kamala and company, the dear leader behind them all, wants to give the Haitians protection and support. Certainly not the residents of Ohio. Certainly not a small Ohio town that probably votes Trump. They're part of the problem. So let's just overload the community with Haitian immigrants. Let's just invite some of the Haitian lifestyle into small town USA. Listen to this from the New York Times. For weeks, it says, undecided voters have been asking for more substance. So it was perhaps no accident that Vice President Harris's first words during the presidential debate on Tuesday were, I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan. Well, before that, she says, I'm middle class. No, you weren't. No. No. And then Trump exposed her for coming from a family steeped in communism. True. True. You think David Muir is going to care about that? Of course not. Her father was a communist, and she's over there shaking her head and smiling like it's not true. It is true. Some Americans might need more convincing. It says Bob and Sharon Reed, 77, retired teachers who live on a farm in central Pennsylvania, had high hopes for the debate between Ms. Harris and former President Trump. They thought that they would come away with a candidate to support in November, but Ms. Reed said it was all disappointing. This is the New York Times. Again, after you get through the initial wave, and I mean it is thick, It is strong. After you get through the initial wave of propaganda and everything dies down a little bit, then reality will set in. And they'll begin to realize, yet again, she's a really bad candidate. She's terrible. I mean, they won't say that. They'll say it behind closed doors. What can we do to lie some more, to promote more of the propaganda, to try to prop her up? Well, you saw what they did this morning and last night. It's exactly what we predicted on the show yesterday morning. Tomorrow's news today, or maybe to be more precise, tonight's news this morning. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it. Tomorrow's news today. That's the Trumpet magazine. Look at this one. Invasion at the border. I pointed out these two issues yesterday on the show. That's the April edition. And the one that's coming out October, I think it is. We're being invaded. We're being invaded. And even when they get into that subject, you can tell they don't want Trump to bring it up too much. It's unavoidable because it's on everyone's mind. But when he does, they change the subject. Hey, we'll come back to that later. We'll come because what we want to start with are a few economic questions. And then we got to get in January 6th. And then we got to get in stolen election. And then we definitely got to get in abortion. I mean, that's a religion for us. Abortion. So given the questions that he was asked, we'll see if they do another debate. I think the American thinker might be right. The ones that want a second go at it are the ones that are trailing. They see all the polls. The polls that you don't see. I mean, we see all the Axios and the New York Times, the NBC polls. But those are general. I mean, the way they frame the question, it's like our producer always says, he never trusts the polling. He's probably pretty right to be skeptical. Listen to this, though. Speaking of the swing voters, this is from, I think, a CNN focus group last night, clip 10.
What did you see that brought you to a conclusion?
I think it's important to remember that we are voting for the leader of our country and not who we like the most or who we want in our wedding party, but who is actually going to make our country better. And we're in an incredibly unique situation where we've had both of the candidates in office before and we've gotten to see what they would do. And when facts come to facts, my life was better when Trump was in office. The economy was higher, inflation was lower, things were better overall. And now with Kamala's administration, things haven't been so fantastic. And she's saying she can fix the problems that her administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
Some pretty good insight from this woman in the focus group. You know, we're in a unique situation where we can see because, you know, both have been in office. That's right. Kamala has been in office for 3.5 years. This is someone who heard the closing remarks from Donald Trump and must have thought, you know what? He's right. What has she done? What has she done for the economy? What has she done to seal the border? What has she done to help the residents of Springfield? She's trying to support and help the Haitians more than Americans. What has she done to stop the endless wars? What has she done to save money for America's grandchildren? I think I'm going to go with Trump, she concludes. The New York Times piece, it says the Tuesday night was the first time any voter had seen Mr. Trump and Ms. Harris together. The two candidates had never met in person before, creating considerable trepidation among supporters of both campaigns about how they might perform. It says immediate reaction from political analysts favored Ms. Harris, whose attacks appeared to rattle Mr. Trump. She goaded him and on it says here. But it says further on, next paragraph, but not all voters, especially those undecided, few who could sway the election were effusive about the vice president's performance. Wow. I mean, ouch. That's coming from the New York Times. I can't believe we're out of time already. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.